Yeah, that final inspection made me feel like David. I was going to take my clothes off and run naked through the hill.
He'd read the Old Testament if he had it.
Be committed.
Damn, liked it though.
All right, make sure you're in fellowship as we continue on here in regards to Paul's thankfulness through and by the means and way of God the Holy Spirit, as God the Holy Spirit has direct impact in regards to Paul's volition and this expression of embracing the truth of Bible doctrine with full assurance to include, obviously, phase two, application of Bible doctrine. And the last part of the verse that reads, just as you know what kind of men we prove to be among you for your sake, looks to the background as a backset of the evidence of Paul's volition of the Thessalonians' response to the message to now Team Paul as being examples themselves in application, denoting that they were positive in that respect. And verse 5 essentially expresses thankfulness for the Holy Spirit's intercession. Point 59, page 17 in our notes, finishing that. Oh, by the way, the previous point 58, 1 Corinthians 4, 17 is fine. Sometimes I read fast so my brain can keep up. But he talked about Paul's way in Christ in that regards, Timothy. So 59 now, verse 5 in summary. Expresses thankfulness for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's intercession on behalf of Paul's volition, providing the inner conviction necessary for Paul's volition to have its full effect in embracing God's Word. 60, the evidence of that reality is obvious to other potential Paul's volition through commitment to an application of Bible doctrine by existing Paul's volition in witness. And our witness in an evangelistic mode regards others in this respect. The evidence of the power of God, the Holy Spirit, is seen in our own manner of life, in our own application and seriousness of Bible doctrine and applying it in our own Christian life. And for potential polyvolition out there, it has a desired impact in regards to stimulating their own volitional propensity in that direction as God, the Holy Spirit, then intervenes in regards to the truth being communicated to them, whether an unbeliever or a believer, under the proper ministry of the Holy Spirit, as we have so discussed. So, 60 again, the evidence of that reality is obvious to other potential polyvolition through commitment to an application of Bible doctrine by existing polyvolition in witness, our responsibility. So, 61, this verse destroys the fundy notion of having to use human energy gimmicks to persuade volition to belief. The fundies out there, denominationalism, Christendom, today is wrapped up in so many agendas, so many programs under the outreach evangelistic mode, which is nothing more than energy of the flesh. It follows a mentality of what you have to do to come up with gimmicks in order to convince people to get on the truth, to become believers, and to be Christians otherwise in that respect. And all that is nothing but spinning of the wheels, energy of the flesh gimmicks. Paul makes it very clear, power of God the Holy Spirit, coupled with Bible doctrine and Paul's volition, is all that's necessary for full conviction, full assurance to occur in regards to an individual. So all these things we see out there that we, obviously, in this local church have stripped ourselves of being involved in that regards, such as impressing with appearance, this mentality that you got to appeal physically. What are you after when you're evangelizing? You're not after anything physical. You're after their soul. See, that's invisible. That's within. And what you're appealing to is Paul's volition. But that's energy of the flesh of mankind that follows human viewpoint. The power team approach. You got to get out there and wow the masses and wow the young people and all this in order to convince them that God's real and His power is so fake. with truth, you see it. It is so fake. See? And these individuals, while we wouldn't question whether or not they're a believer or not, as believers, they give Christianity, true Christianity, a black eye. All they are is a circus. Truly, in that regards. Pressing with parents' feet, you know, evangelist's got to get up and he's got to, you know, look what I did, look what I've accomplished. You know, I was this or that, you know, in regards to the military and all these other things you hear people use. All of that is energy of the flesh gimmicks. The only two ingredients you need is Bible doctrine and God the Holy Spirit. And if they're positive, it's going to happen. See, obviously your application is what gives evidence in regards to the power of the Holy Spirit in that respect. But all this other stuff, you don't see any of this stuff in the New Testament. Come on. You know, they didn't have youth programs. They didn't have church camps. You don't see any of this. In fact, what they had is opposition. That's what they had. Running into people that were constantly taking issue with them because they were out proclaiming the truth against the backdrop of the cosmic way of life. And the cosmos doesn't like it. So feats, appeals to emotions, all the rigmarole. If you've been in the funding world, you understand and probably appreciate what I'm talking about. If you haven't, well, that's fine. You haven't missed anything. See, you didn't miss something out in life that's going to rob you in regards to your SU3. I can guarantee you that. Entertainment value placed on regards to, you know, you see the evangelists on TV. You've got to have the choirs and all this other stuff. Got to get up and tell a joke before they start each deal. It's my habit to tell a joke. Well, fine. You are a joke. Thank you for that. Social clubs. And, of course, you get abuses of both sides, you know. People don't want to line up with the importance of NPR. Your church is nothing but a social club. Well, how do you know that? You've never even been here. You know, I've had them do that to me on the Internet. These tapers, these diehard tapers out of the Themite groups, you know, that think all of a sudden church isn't important. That's not what Theme always taught. They need to do a little bit more research in regards to their background and what he used to teach before he went goofy. The social club, you're here because of your job, you know, your boss goes to that church, all these things. You know, I saw that in the business world big time. Youth single, senior programs, etc. So all these things are nothing but the superfluous energy of the flesh. You know, jumping through hoops, thinking, not having a clear read in regards to truly what God's plan is all about with respect to volition, with respect to free will, and what it takes for that free will to come to surface and express itself. So 62, the only two ingredients necessary for conviction here under this full sense, full assurance, saving faith, phase two faith, are Bible doctrine and the Holy Spirit. Not in word only, but through power, by means of power, even God the Holy Spirit, with full conviction. So, 63, when coupled with positive volition, they will have the beneficial effect. They will have the beneficial effect. 64, the witness of the life and application of the doctrine is the evidence that believers are to bring to the table, witness to others, manifesting the effective nature of Bible doctrine via God the Holy Spirit as it's impact their life. 65. No wonder Paul is so thankful for the Holy Spirit. He is free from any further pressure in the witness of his ministry other than the ministries of the Holy Spirit in the realms of teaching and applying Bible doctrine. That's all he had to concern himself with. He knew as long as he stayed fast and straight to the truth, communicated it clearly, when he was with other positive volition, it would have its desired effect based on the ministry of God the Holy Spirit and how he operates in regards to the souls of individuals in time. So there you are. And yeah, as a pastor, I have a real appreciation for Paul and his thankfulness. See, I don't have to worry about it. We don't have to have those special programs try to draw people in. No, it's not about numbers, even though you've got to have sufficient numbers, obviously, to have a church. It's not about numbers. and all these other things that churches get all wrapped around the axle over, and all they are is distraction to the fact that the church isn't proclaiming the truth to begin with, that they've watered it down, they're superficial in their own Christian lives, the pastor included, see. So, thank God that Bible doctrine has taken us out of that camp, and we don't have to be a part of that in that respect. As I pointed out already, we're going to see that this church provided a witness in evangelistic mode without ever leaving Thessalonica. And no, they didn't send out any missionaries. It is just a matter of what happened to them in regards to the opposition they faced, and word got out. God made sure the word got out. And people were basically heard the truth, and then we'll see the indications of what indicates positive volition versus negative volition otherwise in that regards. All right? Continuing on here. And again, as I brought out, the threat of thankfulness. The threat of thankfulness runs through all these verses, all the way through the end of chapter 1. And here we have a transition, another transition, if you will, in regards to the thankfulness of you. And here's the thankfulness as a result of Thessalonian witness, verses 6 through 10. It begins with, here in verse 6, their initial response, producing the witness, producing their own witness. All right. Looking at the Greek here, verse 6. You also became imitators of us and of the Lord. You have the emphatic use of the personal pronoun, you all, you, Sue, S-U, followed with the adjunctive use of the connective chi, K-A-I, also, in addition to, became. Became is aorist, deponent, indicative of ginomai, G-I-N-O-M-A-I, means come into existence, literally. It denotes something that they were not, now they are. They became something they were not. And what they became is imitators of us and of the Lord. Imitators is our noun, nominative, masculine, plural of mimetes, mimic, where we get the term mimic, M-I-M-E-T-E-S, mimetes. Imitator or copiers is used six times in the New Testament. First of all, King Paul of us, ego, the pronoun ego in the plural, E-G-O, and, respectively, connective chi, the Lord, with the definite article noun, ho kurios, K-U-R-I-O-S. Having received the word in much tribulation with joy, with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Now, he gives us specifics of their imitation, copying of Team Paul and Jesus, the second part of the verse. Having received is your circumstantial participle aorist deponent of decomai, D-E-C-H-O-M-A-I. Having received or accepted. Here the action of the participle precedes the action of the main verb in the first part of the verse, became. So what they received preceded what they became out of necessity. You've got to first hear it before you see what the example is before you can be the example. Having received here the word, definite article with renown for word, ho logos, L-O-G-O-S. In much tribulation, in the sphere of, along with, if you will, the preposition in, taking the locative here, again, our adjective much, polis, P-U-L-O-U-S, translated full in the previous verse, full assurance here, much, to degree here, with our noun tribulation, locative feminine singular of philipsis, T-H-L-I-P-S-I-S, philipsis, literally means pressure or pressing together. Hence, tribulation, affliction, oppression. Testing in that vein. With the joy, and they did it here, with the joy of the Holy Spirit. You have the preposition meta, M-E-T-A, with, and our noun, joy, chara, C-H-A-R-A. Joy, again, the remention of God the Holy Spirit. You had the adjective holy, hagios, H-A-G-I-O-S, matching in case, number, and gender with the noun spirit, pneuma, P-N-E-U-M-A. Verse 7, now title it, Their Impact on Other Churches. The result, so that. You have the conjunction hoste, H-O-H-O-S-T-E, that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. You, again, our pronoun sue, reference to Thessalonians, became, again, our verb genomai here is an infinitive. It functions as a subject here. G-I-N-O-M-A-I. Subject of being an example. Our noun for example here, model type, is tupos, T-U-P-O-S, used 15 times. They are example to all the believers. You have the adjective pas, P-A-S, all, in plural, correctly translated all, the singular be each. The believers here is the participle as a substantival participle with a definite article, present active, of ho, pistuo, the ones believing, literally, those believing, P-I-S-T-E-U-O, hence believers, as a substantival. In Macedonia and Achaia, connected chi, you have the preposition, taking the locative here, a geographical sphere, he Achaia with the definite article, transliterated A-C-H-A-I-A. Oh, I forgot Macedonia, that's before that, again with the definite article, Macedonia, M-A-K-E-D-O-N-I-A. Macedonia and in Achaia, preposition in for both nouns. All right, rereading two verses. You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit. So that, resulting in that, you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. Now, says in verses 6 and 7. One, verses 6 and 7 are a new sentence in the Greek text. Two, it denotes a transition from thankfulness for what these believers represented as a church intrinsically within to their outward impact. So what they were, and then the impact they had on others around them. And Paul's thankful for all this. All these things, both aspects, regards to this local church. Three in particular here, their impact upon fellow believers enduring their own persecution for the faith in the early church. Persecution is a given. It's a given of the angelic conflict. We are standing for something which is of the great minority of belief among mankind. We are in total opposition of what the world represents under the rulership of Satan and negative volition by influence and means of the STA. And here, their application, how they dealt with the persecution about them and around them in this regards, had, as an example, again, impact. And here, that particularly looking at fellow believers, even though the impact obviously then extends otherwise to others who hear about it. So in particular, their impact upon fellow believers enduring their own persecution for the faith in the early church. For this force of impact finds its origin based on these Thessalonians' initial response to Team Paul's teaching. You also became imitators of us and of the Lord. As I pointed out, one of the unique factors of this as a church is that these individuals not only expressed polyvolition saving faith, but immediately they were polyvolution phase two. And the whole aspect of evangelizing included both phase one, phase two doctrines, which they grabbed a hold of phase two doctrine immediately upon saving faith and implemented it in their own Christian lives. and it finds its origin in regards to their impact upon others around them based on the origination in response to Teen Paul's teaching. So five, the words you also, sukai, in the Greek, attaches an additional virtue and an additional virtue to that characterizing them previously, verses 2 through 4, as summed up then by power and the Holy Spirit with full conviction in verse 5. So, obviously, verses 2 through 5 are given as Paul now expresses his thankfulness in this area in regards to their Christian life and Christian witness. So, it looks, becoming an imitator, looks at an additional virtue that's attached to what they have already evidenced that they are in the previous verses. And then again, that's summed up in verse 5. Now, all that, manifestation of their previous virtues of faith, love, and hope are all, if you will, summed up by power of God, the Holy Spirit, through their own positive volition, truth of Bible doctrine, etc. So, six, their resolute positive volition and adherence to the gospel phase 1 and 2 produce a quality of believers Paul describes here as, quote, imitators of us and of the Lord, end quote. Seven, the pronoun us and the noun the Lord obviously refer to Team Paul and Jesus Christ respectively. The Lord, looking at he as the master. So, eight, the noun imitators, the metes, is a word from which we get the English mimic. It means one that copies or imitates another. Nine, it does not carry the belittling notion, as today, of making fun of another to mimic someone, as kids might do in school. But denotes here, and it doesn't have that type of notion to it here, it denotes capturing, continuing point 9, but notes capturing the spirit of someone and to reflect that reality in your own experience. In other words, to follow someone in likeness of thought and action. To follow someone in likeness of thought and action. Not exactly in every little moment or habit, etc., but in the general idea and intent of what somebody is thinking and doing. So, 10, there is a sense in which, and that's what this brings out, there's a sense in which the believer under his spiritual authority, i.e. here, Team Paul, is to follow his example as a role model, imitating his divine viewpoint in application. Now, we see in regards to what they evidence and prove to them regards their own positive volition. And that sets Team Paul up then as role models for these new believers, these new converts, to then imitate or copy an example with respect to their own application. And there is a sense in which the communicator, the pastor, the shepherd, operates as a role model, like a parent, like a father, and otherwise. Compare 1 Corinthians 4:15. For if you were to have countless tutors in Christ, yet you would not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel. And he's looking at his commission as their apostle, their right apostle. And obviously he is the head, if you will, the human head that God has established over the church of Corinth. And hence, as we know, a father is a role model in regards to the children of the house. At least he should be, whether good or whether bad. Verse 16, I exhort you, therefore, be imitators of me. And then verse 17, the verse that I read too fast earlier, for this reason I sent to you, Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child of the Lord. He will remind you of my ways which are in Christ. And hence, that is what sets Team Paul up, or Paul here in this case, contextually, as being a bona fide model and example to follow. Just as I teach everywhere in every church. And that's not just moral. in regards to being an example. It's regards to how the church functions and operates, and all the other guidelines of Bible doctrine that he implements with respect to local churches. Then 11:1 of Corinthians. Again, he says, "Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ." So 11, as 1 Corinthians 11:1 makes clear, the process for copying finds its original, its source in the person of Christ. Obviously, if you're going to copy something, you've got to have an original somewhere. And the original is the person of Jesus Christ. And hence, all adjusted polyvolition looks at him as the source or the original of which they seek to imitate in their own Christian lives. And upon their success and imitation, then they become, if you will, that good of an example and copy for others to follow in regards to their own footsteps in life, of whom they may have authority over as a shepherd, etc. Right down the chain in regards to influence upon others around us. So the process for copying finds its original in the person of Jesus Christ. So 12, Christ is a perfect incarnate copy of God. God manifested in the flesh, become incarnate. And is a perfect example for believers to follow as imitators of God. So we're commanded to be imitators of God, and God has given us the means of how we can imitate Him. That's by imitating other particular subjects that He has brought out. And it begins with Jesus Christ, and then finds its flow, a further impact through polyvolition throughout time. 1 John 1:18, the Gospel of John. No man has seen God at any time, beyond the uniquely begotten of God, who is in the bosom of the Father. He has fully explained Him. He has perfectly exegeted Him in all that He said and did. And hence, He is the perfect copy. Also 5:19, makes it clear, in order to maintain the hypostatic union, that the Son had to defer His will to the will of the Father in all matters. That's what we call polyvolition in the humanity of mankind. Jesus therefore answered and was saying to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself unless it is something He sees the Father doing." That doesn't mean He didn't have free will. He's making the claim in regards to being who and what He claims to be, and that's God in the flesh. And as the second member of the Godhead, He had to defer to the highest authority of the Godhead, that is God the Father, in all that He did. And hence, to maintain His union as God with humanity, of His person. He could not violate this. Unless it is something He sees the Father doing. That's what He sees spiritually, in that regards, through His soul, for whatever the Father does. These things the Son also does in like manner. So He was the perfect copy of God Himself, obviously. And then the command, Ephesians 5:1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. To reflect appropriately our new status in life as believers. So you have Jesus Christ as the perfect copy in human form of God to follow, of which all other polyvolition, which starts with the communicators as they are the authority over local churches to then emulate and copy Him in regards to their own life, and they themselves then become role models for those to whom they are teaching and instructing spiritually in regards to their Christian life. So Christ is a perfect incarnate copy of God and is a perfect example for believers to follow as imitators of God. Verse point 12, 13. While this is true overall, Paul's emphasis here now in our verse is more specific as to what these saints imitated. That is the remainder of the word of the verse, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit. So Paul is here more specific in regards to what he's going to emphasize now. So 14, now the emphasis is to be understood in addition to the intrinsic virtues these believers possessed. It's a given. That part's already a given. So he's already expressed this, that they've expressed phase 2 evidence of polyvolition. So the emphasis is to be understood in addition to that, to the intrinsic virtues these believers possess necessary in the imitation process. And that's brought out under the phrase, having received the word, that they believed and embraced the truth of Bible doctrine, evidencing the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in their own Christian lives through faith, love, hope, and application of doctrine. So, point 14 again, the emphasis is to be understood in addition to the intrinsic virtues these believers possess spiritually necessary in the imitation process, having received the word. 15, it denotes an outstanding circumstance. An outstanding circumstance is part of emulating their spiritual heads. Obviously, their faith, love, and hope imitated Paul company. But now, Paul is looking at and emphasizing an outstanding circumstance of which they did this. Receiving the word, of how they were evangelized. The conditions under which they were given Bible doctrine and took it and ran with it and under these conditions. 16, now the action of the aorist participle, having received, which is dekomai in the Greek, precedes the action of the aorist verb became in the first part of the verse. They first had to receive the word in order to become imitators, is the idea. So 17, the word hologos refers to Team Paul's teaching during their 3 months with the Thessalonians. 18, the sequence of action, having received, then became. And what does that express? It expresses inhale, exhale, faith. See, they received, inhale. Then they became something, exhale. So the sequence of action, having received, then became, is a forceful statement that the only way to be imitators in this vein is one's own polyvolition of Bible doctrine. The only way that Christ could imitate God the Father was through the polyvolition of his own humanity. Then the only way that we as believers can be imitators of Christ is through our own polyvolition. That is the accepted, the given, in regards to being imitators in the way that Paul now presents it. And you've got to be positive Bible doctrine. You've got to believe it. You've got to plug in and apply it in your own Christian life. So 19, that which is most noteworthy now is the conditions under which this local church expressed its polyvolition. That is, in much tribulation. Their going on polyvolition wasn't in an environment of which everything was hunky-dory. No big pressures going on in their life. They come to a room like this, no interference. You don't have to worry about people coming up and pounding on your door and all these other things. And they're given a gospel. And they go, oh, yeah, this is good. Now, they did not receive the gospel like this. They didn't go on polyvolition under these terms and conditions. They went on polyvolition under intense persecution in spite of it all. See, again, expresses the quality of polyvolition and the nature of polyvolition. You're going to be positive. And you can have the worst circumstances around you going on, the highest kind of pressure. And sometimes that's what it takes for polyvolition to expose itself. And this obviously was prime condition for these individuals, and at least at the minimum, a way for God to evidence how positive they truly were. So that which is most noteworthy is the conditions under which this local church experiences polyvolition in much tribulation. It wasn't at a church camp where everybody's having fun and playing games and out necking in the woods and all these other things that they do at church camps. I know, I've been there. Even the legalists can't stop you. Or those other kids I kept telling, you're wrong. 20. See, now I can stand back and I can look back and laugh. I can look back and laugh at my own stupidity and as I was negative back then, see. Embracing the lukewarmness of Christianity. 20, the founding of this local church and its grounding in doctrine came about under very hostile circumstances. Very hostile circumstances. 21, yet this did not thwart nor diminish Pauli's volition. In other words, God's plan for salvation, for Pauli's volition to be benefactors. So now, he is beginning to establish part of a sub-theme in regard to evangelizing. And that the evangelizing occurs in Satan's world, in the very midst of opposition. And no matter what the world and Satan may throw at us in regards to our witness for the truth, in regards to reaching out in outreach to other population, it's not going to affect it one way or the other in regards to that population being served by God. See, that's what he's starting to establish right now in his context. And this church is a perfect premier example of that. They came on Paul's volition and was grounded in doctrine under very hostile circumstances. Yet, they still got the gospel. In spite of the opposition around them, people trying to shut them down, shut the doors, didn't do anything. They were still positive. They got the gospel. They applied Bible doctrine. So 22, the noun tribulation, philipsis, lifts to the persecution these believers faced by negative volition around them. Obviously accompanied by a variety of tests this might include. You know, people that are hostile understand that their expression of hostility, a facial expression, if you will, or a verbal expression, is only usually part of it. There's usually, this usually... and often does, involve other things that we have to put up with because of their hostility. For Paul and company getting run out of town eventually, getting arrested, you know, over this, etc. So persecution obviously has its own fingers of additional testing that can be attached to it. It can spider web out in many different ways. So the persecution here, if you will, the point I'm trying to make is kind of a catch-all of all the other tests that this would include in regards to living, going on Pauli's volition and trying to apply Bible doctrine under these terms and conditions. 23, the early church leaders, like the Lord in his public ministry, came under the persecution of a negative and hostile society. Obviously, going through the Gospel of John, we saw what kind of hostility Jesus Christ faced in his own ministry. When he appeared, it wasn't, whoopee, here's Messiah, in regards to the acceptance of his person. It was against extreme hostility, against religious reversionists that was constantly dogging him every step of his ministry, accusing him falsely and otherwise. See, in regards to his ministry, and trying to do anything they could to interrupt him. At any turn, that he took issue with what they believed otherwise. It wasn't just the Bible overall. It was any little thing, like the Sabbath. You know, he'd let, it's almost like he'd like to twit him on that one. But all he was doing was applying Bible doctrine. So that's a sanctified twit, see. Not that he had a bad mental attitude. Christ would not. So, this church, along with Team Paul, they imitated Jesus Christ with respect to the fact that they engaged in application of Bible doctrine in their own Christian lives to express their own population, their own willingness to serve God under a negative and hostile society around them. Example here, 24, Paul's acceptance of the truth of Bible doctrine brought him under intense persecution from the Jews. You know, yeah, Christ told him, sit down, you're gonna have persecution like you won't believe, Paul. But part of it part of how this came about, part of the agency used in that regard from Satan, is the fact that Paul otherwise used to be a Pharisee. He used to be part of the religious mainline representation of Israel. He was once highly regarded among his peers in Judaism, as the parenthesis brings out. And then one day, he went on Paul's volition. And he got up, and all of a sudden, he's taking issue with these people. Rather than being on their side, which they represented the majority around them, he became part of the minority. Almost a reflection of Moses in Egypt, you know, in that sense. Obviously, their differences recognized. And this is one of the reasons why you see the Jews, I think, and I think with a proper attitude and proper read, why the Jews did persecute him as much as they did. Because he used to be one of them. And now he's saying, you guys are idiots. You're evil. And I can tell you, as a fact, that coming out of the Fundy background, I became a target by the Fundies. Because I got on doctrine, I said, you guys are wrong. And they don't like that. You know, I recognize that, yeah, we could be wrong. But unfortunately, I'm under the power of God, the Holy Spirit, and I have full assurance. See? And it's something that the lukewarm Christian does not have the benefit of. And they don't have that determination. And that's why you are under attack, because you are taking issue with other people and the way that they believe otherwise. When they're out of line of Bible doctrine, the positive just believer, with opportunity and is right, will point that out. And there you go. There you go. Conflict is primed to ensue. See, in regards to this, and Paul is a prime example of that. So you see him everywhere he's going. In this case, the Jews. The Jews were after him. Of course, he used the synagogues to evangelize. And they had the doors open. It was legitimate. And he'd go in and he'd just simply argue the truth. And after 3 weeks of arguing the truth, he got the whole town down on his back. Good grief. 3 weeks teaching Bible doctrine, and you got a whole town on your back. Then on top of all, you have all these people that become believers. Out of this whole situation. So this is pretty cool stuff. It's just reflection of operating in the angelic conflict, see? Of being positive in the angelic conflict. This is what it means. And this is what the potential is that you might face. So 25, the Thessalonians possessed a kind of positive volition that resulted in their imitating their spiritual leaders from the very beginning of their Christian experience. 26, the Thessalonian experience was not unlike the experience of the first Christian Jews in Judea. The early Christians, Paul and company, but all others that became believers. Then they had their countrymen around them, still engaged as their funding Judaizers, Judaism, as I would say it. And they became believers in spite of the antagonism. They just got through killing their Messiah, and people still became believers. 1 Thessalonians 2:14, Paul parallels them in an example. For you, brothers, became imitators of the churches of God of Christ Jesus that are in Judea. For you also endured the same sufferings at the hands of your own countrymen, even as they did from the Jews. So oftentimes, the persecution can be at the hands of those who are otherwise closest to you in life. If they're negative and hostile to the truth themselves. See. So 27, Jason and other brothers here at Thessalonica were made an example of that which these saints faced. The kind of persecution, as we read, and look at it again here, Acts 17:6-9. As they went out looking for Paul and Silas, and they did not find him, verse 6, they began dragging Jason and some brothers as other believers. These people that had become new converts. These people are new converts. It's not like they've been going to Bible class for 15, 20 years, and people would expect them to have the gumption to hang in there with this. These are new converts. You know, they have now embraced a belief and a faith that was, to them, before that, completely foreign. But they're positive, see. They're positive to Bible doctrine. And they couldn't find him, and they took it out. You know, usually the pastor, the messenger is the target. But they couldn't find the target for the persecution. So they got the next best thing. Those who were housing them or taking care of them, they knew were closely associated. And that's Jason and some brothers. As they get their name, Jason gets his name put down for posterity for all eternity in regards to his faithfulness to doctrine. And otherwise, some brothers before the city authorities, shouting, "These men who have upset the world have come here also." They're ruining our lives. That's what they're saying. They're going in total contradiction of what logic really shows you otherwise, you know, in their own thinking. And Jason has welcomed them. See, he gave them hospitality. He applied hospitality on their behalf and opened his doors for them, his home. And they all act contrary to the decrees of Caesar. Now, that's a total slander, just like Peter was talking about in his epistle. And an example of it, saying that there is another king, Jesus. They are putting it, taking it and ripping it out of context. And they stir it up, and that's why a lot of people distort doctrine. They take it out of context, see, or take you out of context. You shudder when you hear, "The pastor said," what did he say? Sometimes. And they stirred up the crowd and the city authorities who heard these things, and when they had received a pledge from Jason and the others, they released him. Jason then had to pay bond. It cost him money. They went after their pocketbook, see. But that's the conditions, and they are obviously the example given to us of the conditions in which these people went on positive volition. So 28, persecution is a normal lot of Christians. In doctrine, Paul brief with respect to new converts. For these pastors out there that want to try to promote the primrose glasses approach, that if things are not going smoothly for you every step of your life, and everything's not glassy smooth, and you're not having the greatest feelings in your life and all these other things, you're facing, you know, opposition in time, something's wrong with you spiritually, they're idiots. These are people who are not in touch with the truth at all. They're not in touch with reality. Bible doctrine means that you stand for things, and people are going to throw things at you, and it won't be pies. At least not the kind that you would eat. And the normal lot of Christians is the fact that you're standing for something that's in the minority of the world, and therefore you need to recognize that you're going to have testing in life in this regards, in opposition, and it's a normal lot. And Paul briefed his converts, especially new converts, in this regards, so that they wouldn't be caught off balance. People teach them, get a human viewpoint shoved down their throats instead of the truth of doctrine, then they're off balance when things like this occur that's contrary to what they've been otherwise taught. Acts 14:22, strengthening the souls of disciples, Paul and company, encouraging them to continue in the faith and saying, "Through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God." Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to enlighten us to these things in Jesus' name. Amen.